Welcome to day 16 of our 180-day journey through the Westminster Standards and the fourth day of our study of the doctrine of providence. And maybe if I race through the final three sections, I'll be able to finish the chapter on providence on this recording session. But boy, it would be nice if we could all just get together and talk about some of these passages. And for some of us who maybe are not familiar with the Bible stories, to just take time to recount the whole story, spell it all out, I think would really help us, because providence is a really important doctrine. All of us, I think, as I've mentioned before, were pretty much raised as deists, that God is out there in the distant somewhere. We don't think of him as being active and personally involved in everything that happens in the world and in our lives. That's what is in this chapter, so it would be good if we could spend more time. But our goal is to get through the entire Westminster Standards in 180 days, 10 minutes a day. So let's get started. Section 5, Chapter 5 of the Westminster Confession of Faith on Providence. The most wise, righteous, and gracious God does oftentimes leave, for a season, his own children to manifold temptations and the corruption of their own hearts, to chastise them for their former sins, or to discover unto them the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness of their hearts, that they may be humbled, and to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon himself, and to make them more watchful against all future occasions of sin and for sundry other just and holy ends. As for humbling, that God leaves us to temptations, to corruption, to our own deceitful hearts, to humble us, we have the story of Hezekiah and David. 2 Chronicles 32:25 through 31. Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Verse 31, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. And then we have the story in 2 Samuel 24, which was also in the book of Chronicles. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David to number Israel. And in the Chronicles account, it says Satan moved David to number Israel. Either way, looking at the primary cause or the secondary cause, in the end, David was humbled. And also it says that God leaves us to these things to raise in us a more close and constant dependence for our support upon himself, and to make us more watchful against all future occasions of sin and for sundry other just and holy ends. So let's look at some of the proof texts for that. First, in 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The confession says, look at Psalm 73, the whole thing. Well, we don't have time to read the whole of Psalm 73, so you might want to take a few minutes maybe to pause the audio right now and check out Psalm 73 throughout, or after the audio is over. Psalm 77, verses 1, 10, and 12, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. And I said, This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will meditate also of all thy work, and talk of thy doings." And here again, the confession says we need to read the intermediate verses in the Bible. Once again, we'll take too much time if we read through all of these stories, the whole narrative and all the events that took place. The point is that all of these events, everything that happened to David, everything that happened to Hezekiah, these were all happening ultimately for the glory of God. And we should, the confession says, compare Mark 14 with John 21. And the verses read, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith again unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." And I think what the confession is saying here is that this was a kind of a rehabilitation of Peter denying Jesus three times in the Mark account, so that God had left him to expose Peter's inward thoughts, but later it came about to God's glory that Peter was given the task of being an apostle. Then in section 6 of chapter 5 on Providence, we have a bit of a darker side, whereas in chapter or section 5 we see the godly who are humbled and are reconciled with God. In chapter 6, it's not always that attractive. "As for those wicked and ungodly men, whom God, as a righteous judge, for former sins does blind and harden, from them he not only withholds his grace whereby they might have been enlightened in their understandings and wrought upon in their hearts, but sometimes also withdraws the gifts which they had, and exposes them to such objects as their corruption makes occasion of sin, and withal gives them over to their own lusts, the temptations of the world, and the power of Satan, whereby it comes to pass that they harden themselves even under those means which God uses for the softening of others." So let's break that down. "As for those wicked and ungodly men whom God as a righteous judge for former sins does blind and harden." Remember, we have a link to, maybe I don't have it, but I'll put it up there, for Pharaoh, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Some people have said God doesn't harden, but if you look at that link, you'll see that that is not the case. God did harden Pharaoh. And the texts here from Romans 1:24 and Romans 11. In Romans 1, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And in Romans 11:7-8, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day." The second part of section 6, "From them he not only withholds his grace whereby they might have been enlightened in their understandings and wrought upon in their hearts," and for that we're directed to Deuteronomy 29:4, "Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. But sometimes," the confession says, "also withdraws the gifts which they had." Matthew 13:12, Jesus says, "For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has." Matthew 25:29, "For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has." So the gifts are withdrawn, and he exposes them to such objects as their corruption makes an occasion of sin. Deuteronomy 2:30, "But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day." And then in 2 Kings 8:12-13, "Hazael said, Why weepeth my Lord? And he answered, Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and wilt dash their children, and rip up their women with child. And Hazael said, But what, is thy servant a dog, that he should do this great thing? And Elisha answered, The Lord hath showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. And then gives them over to their own lusts, the temptations of the world, and the power of Satan. Psalm 81:11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And finally, whereby it comes to pass that they harden themselves, even under those means which God uses for the softening of others. Exodus 7:3. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Exodus 8:15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, neither would he let the people go. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Isaiah 8:14. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder has disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Isaiah 6:9. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Compare that with Acts 28:26. Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's kind of ominous, but there's better news as the chapter concludes in section 7. As the providence of God does in general reach to all creatures, so, after a most special manner, it takes care of his church, and disposes all things to the good thereof. 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Amos 9:8-9. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Isaiah 43:3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, For I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and I will gather thee from the west. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. So it turns out providence is good news if you want God to get all the glory.